A shoot shall come up from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So recently I was in a room of about 30 adults, gathering of clergy. We're playing a get-to-know-you game. You know the kind. Raise your hand if you have red hair. Raise your hand if you enjoy the national champion Penn State football team. Raise your hand if you came here in a car. And then this question. Raise your hand if you're left-handed. I shot my hand in the air. I was the only one. They all looked at me. And suddenly, at age 56, I was carried back to a moment when I was 5. It was Mrs. Carr's kindergarten class. She was teaching us to write, and she told me that I had my pencil in the wrong hand. So, under duress, I tried to write with the other hand, and it was terrible. She stood over my shoulder, scowled, shook her head. So I tried it again, and I thought, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. And then we had a craft project, so she handed out scissors, and I put them in my left hand and tried to cut with them, and they didn't work. No, 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 she said, those are normal scissors. Use your right hand. I couldn't do it. So she rummaged around until she found this ugly pair of green-handled scissors. And I said, I suppose you'll have to use these. And I tried them with my right hand. No, no, she said. Those are left-handed scissors. So I switched hand, and it didn't work with that my left hand either. And by now, all the class is looking at me. The girls are smirking at me. And she said, you better figure it out because it's a right-handed world and you're not fitting in. It wasn't fair. It just wasn't fair. I've since discovered life is not fair. All of us are born, and there are grievous inequities. Some are born left-handed. Others are left-brained. Some are tall. Some are short. Some of us lose weight quickly. Some of us keep reaching for the Christmas cookies. Some are wealthy, some are not. Some discover within themselves great ability and then great advantage. Others struggle to simply be average. Some are born to Presbyterian parents. Some are born to Muslim parents. We don't decide these things. And sometimes the differences separate us, divide us, demean us, and it isn't fair. We can all hope for what the Baptist preacher said in 1963. I have a dream my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. It's a dream of fairness, fairness. It's a worthy dream, and a dream still dangling out there ahead of us. It's an Advent dream, and it's Isaiah's dream. Did you hear it? The promised one is coming, and the promised one shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. That's an interesting addition to the text that we really kind of hover over. We know the Messiah will be full of the Spirit of God, and that Spirit will fill him with wisdom and understanding and counsel and might. He will be full of knowledge and deep reverence for God. And to what end? That he will be fair. That's where the prophet is pointing. He will not be swayed by visual deception. He will not believe the hype or the nonsense of what others say. He will see things for what they are, and this quality of character will determine how he judges. Now, judge, that's a venerable word. For the Jews, it harkens back to a time when the land was governed by people called judges. They were local authorities. You took your case to them, and they decided that there was something wrong. They had the ability to fix it. If there was something out of whack, they could restore it. If there was a grievance that needed to be addressed, they had the power to do so. And their fairness always depended on the quality of their character. If you were good people, and they were good people, they would make good decisions. If they were sleazy, or if their opinions could be purchased, then the victims would be in further trouble. All the more reason why justice had to be independent from what the judge saw or what the people were saying. Maybe you remember the statue of Lady Justice, which harkens back to the empires of Egypt, Greece, and Rome. She stands with the scales to measure out right and wrong, and she is blindfolded. That's the ancient way of declaring that justice, true justice, is fair. Justice means everybody has the same opportunity, that no one can buy it their own way, that truth is not determined by hiring an army of overpriced attorneys who love to have press agents. Justice means that even the scam artists have to live with themselves late at night. By day, they can surround themselves with the best money and best friends. But there comes a day of reckoning when all is revealed and all shall be judged fairly. That's what Isaiah hopes. That's what Isaiah hopes for all of us. The Holy One is coming, the one who is so full of God's Spirit that he shall preside over the poor with righteousness. Why the poor? Because they've been disadvantaged, and they need to be treated fairly. He'll decide with fairness for the meek of the earth. Why the meek? Because with clear character, he sees those who cannot defend themselves in any other way. And from where I stand, the world still needs this. We need that kind of Messiah. Fact is, we get into trouble and we get into trouble with one another when we stop listening. God knows we need that, to listen. Last year, there was a sit-in on the Princeton University campus. You may have heard about this. Princeton has the Wilson School of International Relations. It's named after Woodrow Wilson, who was the university president before he got another job as president of the United States. He was instrumental in creating the League of Nations. He thought the nations should sit at the same table and figure out their differences. It became the precursor of the United Nations. Turns out he was also a notorious racist, and when he got elected to Washington, he fired African Americans who were working in government posts. It was just part of who he was. Well, the students at the university took history classes and discovered this. They invaded the president's office, they protested with a sit-in, and the conversation continued. What do you do? Do you change the name of the Wilson School? Do you name it after Flip Wilson? You recognize the great achievements of an outstanding president who had moral flaws? What would be the fair thing to do? The controversy went on. It's still simmering. One of the old Tigers went to an alumni meeting and said, well, what we should do is put up a plaque that says, President Wilson was a good guy, but he had some issues. Now, can you understand why people who have been discriminated against all their lives would think that Princeton isn't listening? That they're not addressing the deep hurt of people divided by unfairness. Whether you are left-handed or dark-skinned, rich or poor, whatever else, you hunger and thirst for fairness. We all do. And sometimes we begin to learn the lesson at our family tables. The father puts a fresh apple pie on the dinner table. The three kids lean forward and lick their lips. Mmm, apple pie. Dad says, wait a second. It needs to be cut. He hands the knife to the oldest child and said, you cut the slices and the other two get to choose their pieces first. So she leans over that pie and with surgical skill, she slices it. And all the pieces, you can bet, are absolutely identical. Because you can't have your little brother complain, her piece is bigger than mine. You can't have the oldest get the biggest piece. Now that's a smart parent. And it's a replay of the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do to you. A rule about fairness. So we watch and we hope for this. And we hope for it to be presided over by the one who will not be bribed by public opinion or swayed by but the latest poll. It's the one who will regard each person as a child of God, a brother, a sister, one who's worthy of love and worthy of justice. And while we watch and wait for that one to come, knowing that that is God's plan, we can pledge ourselves already to live as if that is here and that he is among us. So I think the best wisdom might come from a young girl named Scout and her father, Atticus. You remember them? In the novel, To Kill a Mockingbird, Scout says at one point, I think there's just one kind of folks. Folks. It's pretty good. And Atticus goes on to say, if you can learn a simple trick, Scout, you'll get along better with all kinds of folks. You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view, until you climb inside of his skin and walk around in it. Good advice when it comes to living out fairness for you and I and all our neighbors. So you know what would make things really fair? If we had a Messiah who could climb inside of our skin and walk around in it. Oh yeah, right.